Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And we've been going through the Psalms, and I've decided to split it up into three segments because of the length of the book, and I will pick it up later. Being that the Psalms is 150 chapters, I'm going to cover 50 chapters at a time, so we'll be finishing up with the first segment of the Psalms today. And we left off in Psalm chapter 46, and we'll just pick up in verse 1 there. To the chief musician, for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. And Alamoth is, it says, properly girls, or the soprano or female voice, perhaps falsetto. So there we have another Hebrew word that was not translated into the English. God, our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, he shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Yahuwah of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of Yahuwah, of course, that is the Creator by name, expressed in the Textus Receptus, the original Hebrew language, the best English translation we have, and I emphasize this occasionally, is, of course, the authorized King James Version. I believe that is the best English translation we have. But even in that best English translation, they did change the name of the Creator from what was given in the Hebrew, and which would be phonetically, I believe, to the best of my understanding and to the best of my research and the research of others. And I've considered a lot of different research on the pronunciation of the name. The best that I can do is to pronounce his name phonetically as Yahuwah. The full name, of course, there are shortened versions of the name. One is Yah, as in Hallelujah. And you see in some places you'll see Yahuwah and Yahuwee even. So just for an understanding for those that are hearing the name for the first time, I know it does sound kind of strange. It kind of sounded strange to me at first, but after a while, once you do the little research for yourself, if you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, there's a link on there that says the name, and you can look at some of the research there for yourself. And hopefully it'll be convincing enough for you to realize that, yes, they did obliterate the name from the English translation of the Bible. That is the correct pronunciation, phonetic pronunciation of his name. And they changed it to a phrase, which is usually interpreted in the English as the Lord. Okay, we'll move on. Continue here. Come, behold the works of Yahuwah, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. And basically, what it's saying here is that he is in control of the ends of the wars. They are all going to work for his purpose. And of course, the accusation from the unbelievers, the atheists, and the skeptics is, how could a good and loving God allow these things to go on? Well, then the question they really need to ask is, how could a good and loving God allow me to go on? Because the wars originate within me. That's right. Because the wars are the result of sin, that he determines the end of the wars and the direction of them, and that he wields them as a sword in his hand. They originate from us as a result of the sin of mankind. And the only way he could get rid of the wars without usurping the power he gave us to choose the course for our own lives is to get rid of us as if we had never been born, to revoke that grace period that he gave to every one of us when he gave it to Adam and Eve. Because he said, in the day you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. Well, they didn't die in that day, and that's another accusation that some would happen. He didn't die in that day, and then people come up with other theories like, oh, they died spiritually and things like that. Well, yes, they did lose a connection with the Creator because sin separated them. But whether they died spiritually or not, no. I don't believe that they died spiritually. They just, their life changed spiritually and physically in that they were separated from the Creator. They didn't have that communion where they could enter right into the throne room. So yes, they lost privileges in the spiritual realm, but they did not die spiritually. Now the translation is like this. If you can understand, if I say you shall surely die, well, that's the death sentence. When he said, you shall surely die to them, that's what they received. He gave them a grace period to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, the same grace period we all get. And it's from that grace period that we get, which springs the wars and the trials and the tribulation and the suffering that comes in this life. So everyone that brings an accusation against God and say, how could a holy God, how could a loving and righteous and just God allow all of these things to go on? He allows them to go on because he allows you to go on. He directs those things, and they are temporary. They are temporal. And that's the view that he has. You have the view that this is permanent and this is all there is. And how could a holy and how could a loving God allow all this suffering and evil and wars in the world? So your view is temporal. His view is not temporal. He's going to use those things. He spared not his own son from suffering. He perfected, he matured his own son through suffering. How much more us? And all of these trials and tribulations come into this life to try us to see what sort of man we are. What are the choices? What are the decisions that we'll make through the trials and the suffering and the tribulation that comes with this life? That is a true test. What do you allow it to do to you? Will you be like Job and say, though he slay me, I will serve him? Or do you just bring all the accusations to him and lay them at his feet as the unbelievers, the critics, and the atheists do? They lay it all at his feet when all the time they are the worst instigators of it because they love darkness and they bring that darkness into the world that our Father can say, all things work together for good to those that love me and are called according to my purpose. So we know that all of those things, regardless of how much suffering, how much pain, how much tribulation we have to endure in this life, we know that it's going to work together for our good. We have that eternal view. We know how short this life is. We don't have any illusions about it. We all can say to ourselves, I shall surely die. Of course, I don't know about these atheists, skeptics, and unbelievers out there. You know, they know that they're mortal existence is going to cease to their body's going to cease to function. They shall surely die too. But they have illusions like that they believe lies, that God is not going to allow them to go to heaven. That's the most popular one. Most people believe that because they can't deny the existence of the Creator. So they hold on to that one. I'm a good man. And they'll stand in their own righteousness, their own goodness, how they're better than most people. And it's true, while they may be better than most people, they may have not committed notorious sins like Hitler and Jeffrey Dahmer and George Bush and other great sinners of the world. And you know, the list just goes on of great sinners, Stalin and, you know, all those great people. And of course, you have the guy that sits in the seat of the Antichrist over there and all of his followers and all their pedophiles. So yes, if we compare ourselves to other, but our righteousness is not good enough to stand through the trial that we have to stand through. Only his righteousness, that is the righteousness of his Redeemer, and only his shed blood will get us through the trial that we all have to stand in. And the other ones just believe the lie of evolution, which gets them off the hook. They're just going to die and fade into nothingness and just turn back into dirt. Of course, they can't answer the question, why am I different from a dog? Why doesn't the dog know it's going to die, or all of the other animals out there, which they think they are just one of, because they were created in the image of the Creator himself? That's why they know. That's why they have an awareness that goes beyond the program of instinct alone. Yes, man does have instinct, like the animals, but beyond the animals, we have that awareness that cannot be denied. So he controls everything, and he controls the wars, but we dare not bring an accusation against him because of the suffering, because of the wars, because of all of these things, all of the evil that is in the world around us. He says, chapter 46 and verse 9, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. And you know, just back to that verse for a minute, it tells us that he is the one who ends the wars. I didn't see that at the first reading, but now that I read that again, he maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He's the one who brings the end to the wars. If he stepped back, and if he just let sinful, dark-hearted, evil man have their way, the wars would never end. And they would never have a good purpose. Nothing good would ever come out of them, because they would never end. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that revelation, for showing me your word. So he's the one who brings the ends to the wars. He's the one who turns them for good, for those that love him, for those that are called according to his purpose. All these things were for our good. And for all of you evil men out there that hate the Creator, that hate his law, it's not going to work out too good for you. So repent. The kingdom is at hand. Repent while you have time. Repent before your heart becomes so dark and so hard that you cannot see the light of day and all you feel is bitterness. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. That was the message of the Master, and my message is no different than his. Continuing in chapter 46, verse 10, then he says, be still and know that I am God. And of course, the Creator speaking there, saying, I am God, Yahuwah. I will be exalted among the heathen. Well, perhaps my ancestors were heathen, and perhaps I was a heathen until he converted me. Now I exalt him. I don't know what my bloodline is. It doesn't matter. The genealogies had one purpose, to lead up to the Messiah. After that, they're worthless. God's chosen people are those that are living in his kingdom, obeying his law, those that love him, that say, I only want to do the things that please you. I will endure till the end in your kingdom. I will crucify the deeds of the flesh. These are God's chosen people. These are the seed of Abraham by faith. These are the seed of the Messiah. It is no bloodline or nationality or creed on the earth in the kingdoms of men. He says, I will be exalted in the earth. Exalt him. Verse 11, Yahuwah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Chapter 47, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. O clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For Yahuwah most high is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue. He is the king over all the earth. All the earth. Is there any part of the earth he's not the king over? And if he is the king over all the earth, where is the kingdom of God? Is it just in Jerusalem? Is it just wherever the Jews are? No. He is the king over all the earth. And this is Old Testament time. For those that are hanging on to dispensationalism and saying, oh, well, that was the kingdom of God, and Jesus was, he failed in his mission when he came the first time. He was going to set up the kingdom of God on earth, and so it went to plan B. That's nonsense. That's confusion. That's to bring an accusation against the Creator and say he's stupid. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know beforehand what was going to happen, but he knew it all from beginning to end. There were no surprises. He came to do what he did. He didn't have one plan and it didn't work out, so he went to plan B. That's all nonsense. That's confusion. Our Creator is much bigger than that. There is no thing that He does not know. There is nothing that will happen that He hasn't already seen. How could it be that He had one plan and it didn't work out? No, He is the King over all the earth. He was then when the psalmist wrote that, and He is now. Says, He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. And who is the us and who are the nations under our feet? Well, He shall. When He comes, all of the nations of men will be under Him, and all of these other governments will be done away with, all of these beasts, all of Mystery Babylon, all of the governments of Mystery Babylon, represented by Daniel's image, which Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and the Creator gave Daniel the interpretation thereof. They will be driven away. It will be utterly destroyed and driven away like the chaff drives away the wind. And it says so that there is no place found for them. We're talking about Mystery Babylon. We're talking about the governments of men, the beasts, which is represented by Mystery Babylon throughout all time, starting with the world government of Nebuchadnezzar being the head of gold, all the way down through history to the time when of the end of all of those governments, the time of the end of the times of the Gentiles, when the rock strikes the feet of Mystery Babylon and shatters it so that there's no place found for it. And then that rock becomes like a mountain and covers the whole earth. That is the rock and cornerstone and foundation of all prophecy. All prophecy for the governments of men fits into that piece of prophecy there. If you understand that, you can understand a lot about what's going on and about what's going to happen. And that's why I emphasize it so much, because there is so much wrong information out there, and you can hear them all. You can hear the Apocalypse Comedy on the other channel, Apocalypse Chronicles. Sorry about that. It might as well be a comedy, except it's not funny when you get people following all these strange ideas, newspaper headline eschatology. So He is the King over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. God is gone up with a shout, Yahuwah with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises unto God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Is greatly exalted. It's chapter 48. A song of and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is Yahuwah, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, and in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. All right, we need to go into a break here.